Friday, December 15th, 2017, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every weekday, and we talk sports with a dose of common sense, and we are happy to have you with us today. Happy Friday to you. We have made it through another work week. I do hate to point this out, but Christmas is coming really, really fast. I hope you are getting some things done. Hanukkah already started this week. I believe Kwanzaa is coming up as well. Oh, the silly season is in full swing, people. I hope you are ready for it all because there are a lot of expectations. There is a lot to be done. Hey, if you would like to contact us, we would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports, and we would love to hear from you. You know, we've got a lot to get to today. We had some trash talk coming out in college football, and it's kind of from an unlikely source. Like, when I heard it, I was like, who? I'll have to talk about that. We will recap the dreadful Thursday night football game between the Denver Broncos and the Indianapolis Colts. But then we will look forward to what is coming up over the coming weekend in the world of sports. There is a ton to watch this weekend. So hopefully you haven't made plans that won't let you get near a TV, because you're going to miss some pretty good stuff if you did. And then, of course, we will get to a very popular segment on the show, the Daily Dose Top 5. You never know which way that is going to go, but you know that you have to stick around for that. We are going to get to all of this right after this. Some college football trash talk took place yesterday as Central Florida running back Adrian Killens Jr. says that the Central Florida Knights will have a speed advantage against the Auburn Tigers in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. According to Killens, his statement was, SEC football, they don't have a lot of speed.
What?
Hey, I'm okay with this guy stirring things up. I am. If he wants to go out there, he wants to talk a little trash about the SEC, he wants to talk a little trash about Auburn, I am totally fine with that. Now, I'm not okay with the fact that he apparently has some vision problems, because I don't know if he's been watching the last decade or so. SEC's pretty fast. And I'm also a little bit worried that now his teammates have to cash the check that he is writing. Here's the thing about this game, about the Peach Bowl in general, and it is one of the bowl games that I am looking forward to. Auburn doesn't want to be in this game. They wanted to be in the college football national playoff. They didn't want to be here. Hey, I like trash talk, but be careful now. Don't make Auburn want to play you. Don't make Auburn excited to play you. They beat Georgia and they beat Alabama this season. Do you think they can't handle a team whose best win is South Florida? Be careful. That's all I'm saying. The Denver Broncos did manage to continue screwing up their draft position by winning a game played last night between two dysfunctional teams. If you watched that on Thursday night, as they beat the Indianapolis Colts 25-13. You know, starting quarterback Trevor Siemian actually left the game with a dislocated shoulder, and it looks like he is done for the year. Brock Osweiler will fittingly finish out this mess of a season as the starter. You know, by beating the Jets and the Colts in consecutive weeks, the Denver Broncos have gone from like somewhere like 3, 4, 5, 6, somewhere in there, to like 13, 14, 15 in their draft position for next spring. Well done, Brock. Even when you win, you still manage to screw up the Broncos and suck. Okay, I realize that the college bowl games are just getting started this weekend. I won't even pretend that they are must-see this weekend, but there are some pretty good things to watch over the next 2 days. Make sure that you mark a few of these down on your calendar, because I'm telling you right now, we have some different things for you this week. We have some good things for you this week. Okay, getting started tonight, Friday night, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. All these are going to be Mountain Standard Time, by the way. If you're in a different time zone, adjust. I'm in Denver. Mountain Standard Time, just kind of what I'm rolling with. Not talking down to your time zone. I'm just saying where I'm at. That's what I have. 7:30 Mountain Standard Time. Okay. You know, there isn't a ton this Friday night, but there is a pretty good NBA game that might be worth your time, because the San Antonio Spurs now have Kawhi Leonard. Now they are at full strength. Now they have the best two-way player in the game today. Tonight, they go to Houston to take on the Red Hot Rockets, who haven't lost a game since Chris Paul has returned from his injury. This is a monster game for December. This feels like it should be like a Christmas Day game. Friday night, Spurs versus Rockets? That's not bad. That's not bad. Okay, we've got a full Saturday for you, and it starts early. Saturday has a few matchups that you're going to want to tune in for and at least check, and don't say you didn't know, because I've got a few things for you. Now, I realize this might be a game for a true college hoop junkie, but don't say you didn't know that Butler plays number 17 Purdue Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Now, you might not realize this, but Butler and Purdue, they're only about 60 miles apart, so there is a little bit of a rivalry there. Butler is 8-2. And they play some pretty nasty defense. They will get up and defend you. And Butler fans, they seem to be getting like more and more obnoxious every year that Butler continues to have success. I've heard this from a number of people now. Butler came to our arena. They couldn't have been more obnoxious. Like, they're going to come into Purdue and they're going to be a little bit of a pain. Butler should be a tournament team this year. Meanwhile, Purdue is 10-2. They are ranked in the top 20. They can flat out score some points. Their head coach, Matt Painter, very, very good offensive mind. This might be a solid way to start off your Saturday. Not bad. Not bad. Okay. Next up. 10:30 a.m. Wait for it. I can't believe I'm going to do this. Wait for it. I am going to talk a little soccer. Are you ready? Manchester City leads the Premier League with a 16-0-1 record, and they will be taking on Tottenham Hotspur, who are in fourth place in the Premier League. Can Man City pick up another important win? Will the Spurs pull the upset on their home pitch? Will it end in a 1-1 draw? Do I understand any of what I'm saying? No, not really. Not so much. Did I really just talk soccer on the Daily Dose? I think I did talk a little bit of Premier League soccer. There you have it. Don't say you never heard it here. You have now. Okay, that's at 10:30. 11 a.m., we have our very first bowl game of the year. That's right, folks. The New Orleans Bowl is coming to us. Now, this New Orleans Bowl features Troy versus North Texas. This is like the equivalent. Remember when you were a little kid? And you'd wait up all night on like Christmas Eve, like you couldn't get to sleep. You're just waiting, thinking of the presents. You can't wait to get up. You can barely fall asleep. You finally fall asleep. You wake up at like 5 a.m. You're half drunk just from being sleep deprived. You run downstairs on Christmas morning. You find the present. You get like the biggest present you can find. You're so excited. You rip into it and you open up like 24 pairs of tube socks. I mean, it's something. Like, you got a present. You got to open something. It's something that you will, I guess, use. It just isn't really anything that you care that much about. But remember, with bowl games, you never know which way they're going to go. Something good could break out, so you have to at least check. Now, in the New Orleans Bowl, both Troy and North Texas, they have some firepower offensively. Best case scenario, we see a shootout in the New Orleans Bowl. Worst case scenario, you probably end up falling asleep on your couch. What do you have to lose is what I'm saying. New Orleans Bowl, 11 a.m., it's something, okay? 12:30 p.m., the Auto Nation Cure Bowl. Another bowl game starts at about halftime of that first one between two schools that you didn't even realize had football, let alone made it to a bowl game. Western Kentucky is 6-6. They are going to be playing Georgia State, who is 6-5. These are two teams, let's be real clear, that have no business whatsoever being in a bowl game. It's probably the worst bowl game out there this season. Georgia State can't really score, not much offense, pretty good defense. Western Kentucky can't run the ball. So who's going to win? Who cares? It's football. You know what? Stop being so picky. Can you imagine what any of us would give in late August to watch this crappy game? Like, it's late August. All that's been on is baseball for 2 months, 3 months. Come late summer, Not only would I watch the Western Kentucky versus Georgia State Auto Nation Care Bowl, I would watch the replay of this terrible game. That's how desperate I will be for football at that point. So, again, if you're desperate, hey, there's a game here for you. All right, moving forward to something a little bit better. 1:30 on Saturday, we have the Las Vegas Bowl featuring Boise State versus Oregon. Okay, things are getting better. Things are kind of getting rolling now. They're starting to pick up. We have the Las Vegas Bowl between two teams that kind of remind me. You know that person, maybe it was a guy, maybe it was a girl, whatever, you saw at the high school reunion that used to be super hot back in high school? And you're kind of doing that, didn't you used to be? Oh, yeah. And it's kind of awkward for both you because now, like, they're a little bit faded, like, added some weight, got some wrinkles. Maybe lost some hair. But you remember when they used to be pretty attractive. So you watch them for a few minutes, but it's not quite what it used to be. And then you shake your head and say, thank God I didn't end up with them. Well, that's basically what we have here. Boise State used to be pretty good. Remember Chris Peterson? And Oregon used to be pretty good. And this year, they're not really that good. But hey, it's something. And again, you never know when a good game might break out. Boise State versus Oregon in the Las Vegas Bowl, 1:30 p.m. on Saturday. I have a good college basketball game for you on Saturday, 2 p.m. The Oklahoma Sooners average over 93 points per game. They get up and down and they score. Meanwhile, Wichita State is 8-1. Forget being the underdog. The Shockers are now the number 3 team in the country. Now, he isn't as well known as his AAU teammate, Michael Porter Jr. You might have heard that name. But Trey Young at Oklahoma, he's leading the nation in scoring with 28 points per game. He's third in the nation in assists. This might be a really fun game. Oklahoma at Wichita State, 2 p.m. on Saturday. Pretty solid. Okay, another bowl game for us. 2:30 p.m., New Mexico Bowl. We have Marshall versus Colorado State. Is there anything more glorious than Albuquerque, New Mexico in December? Yeah, probably almost everything. But I will say this, downtown Albuquerque can be kind of sneaky fun. Like it's better than you'd think it would be. Find some good food, find some good places to hang out. And that kind of sums up this game. It will not be glorious, telling you that right now, but it does exist. And there is a chance it could be mildly entertaining. CSU can score points. They like to throw the ball around. They like that passing offense. Marshall has a pretty good defense. So it's going to be strength versus strength. CSU offense versus Marshall defense. And on the other side, Marshall's offense, not so good. Colorado's defense, not so good. See? So this could end up being a decent game. I mean, I would think the CSU Rams would win. But who knows on these games? You never know who's motivated in a bowl game. Might want to check out the New Mexico Bowl. 2:30 on Saturday. Saturday night, the Houston Rockets actually play a back-to-back game after playing San Antonio the night before. But at least it's a home game. They don't have to travel. And it will be against the Milwaukee Bucks and the Greek Freak. Now, I wouldn't say this would be a game, but because of those circumstances, maybe it's a little closer than we think. Maybe Houston wears themselves out against the Spurs on Friday night. You know, Milwaukee is in fourth place in the Eastern Conference. Granted, that means their record's like barely above 500 because that's just how the East rolls. So maybe Houston is tired. Maybe Milwaukee comes in focused and determined on a mission ready to play. Or maybe you just watch and you see some crazy highlight dunks and Houston steamrolls them. I would imagine it will be the latter. Just throwing that out there though. Okay, now we're getting to some better stuff. You may not realize it this week, but on Saturday, we have NFL football. Did you know that? In fact, I think the Chicago Bears played the Detroit Lions earlier in the day. But I mean, who wants to watch that? Besides us, you know, next summer, late summer. But this is actually a bona fide matchup between two playoff contenders for first place in the division. The Los Angeles Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are 7-6 right now. They are stumbling down the stretch. And in their history, they haven't won anything since like, I don't know, the days of Eisenhower or something. Meanwhile, the Los Angeles Chargers are 7-6. They've been winning lately, but they haven't won anything in their history since ever. Now, the Chiefs have Alex Smith, a quarterback that almost always loses, but somehow finds a way to win a game here or there. The Chargers have Phillip Rivers, a quarterback that almost always wins, but usually finds a way to lose most of the games that he's playing in. The game is in Kansas City, which should be a huge benefit to the Chiefs. Then again, the Chargers are used to playing in stadiums where the opposing fans outnumber their own. So, I mean, what's the difference? I guess I'd take the Chargers if I had to pick. But Chargers at Chiefs, 6:25 on Saturday. We've got NFL on Saturday. 'Tis the season, right? 7 o'clock, Saturday night. So maybe it's Saturday night. Maybe the Chiefs-Chargers game starts off a little slow and you want to switch over to something else. You're kind of bored. And you really have a hankering to watch some white guys hit each other with sticks. Never fear. The Daily Dose has you covered. At 7 p.m., the Winnipeg Jets, who are currently in fourth place in the Western Conference, will be visiting the Western Conference leading St. Louis Blues. That's right, folks. We've got NHL hockey on Saturday night. Sure, I could go into this game, really break down some key matchups, but what do you want from me? It has ice, a lot of white guys, we got sticks, masks, probably some Gary Glitter playing in the background. It's hockey, people, is what I'm saying. You're going to see a lot of people in denim in the audience, is what I'm saying. You wanted some hockey, I got you some hockey. Here you go, Saturday night, 7 p.m. Our last event, Saturday night. It's going to be a little later, probably around 9 p.m. If you need something to watch late Saturday night, I suppose you could tune in for the middleweight championship fight on HBO between WBO belt holder Billy Joe Saunders and the challenger David Lemieux to see two guys that honestly have no business in the ring with either Canelo Alvarez or Gennady Golovkin. Now, Billy Joe Saunders is the champ, I guess, of this particular belt. How many belts do they have now? Like, you've got WBO, WBC, WNBA. I can't keep track of what all the belts are. But Saunders has one of those belts, whatever it is. He's undefeated at 25-0. Meanwhile, the challenger Lemieux is 38-3. He actually lasted 8 rounds with Gennady Golovkin before they stopped the fight. Both guys going into this fight are talking a lot of trash. In fact, Saunders even says he will give up his entire purse to Lemieux if he beats him. Again, I don't know if either one of these guys is really a great fighter, but might be something to watch Saturday night, 9 p.m. on HBO. Okay, let's move forward to Sunday because now we're starting to get interesting. We have a pretty solid lineup on Sunday. Starts in the morning. First game I'm going to give you, and it might be a reach, the New York Jets visit the New Orleans Saints. And while you might be wondering why I would even discuss this game, it's only because the Jets are coming off the embarrassment of getting shut out by the Denver Broncos last week. That had a sting. So maybe this game ends up being a little bit better than people think. The Saints can't afford to drop this one. And you know, or you would think, the Jets would come out and play with a little bit of pride after that debacle last week. Jets Saints, 11 a.m. Sunday morning. Now we're getting into some must-see TV. This next game wouldn't be on the radar at all if Brett Hundley was still starting, but that's not the case. Aaron Rodgers is back, and he is going to see if he can lead the Green Bay Packers back to the playoffs. The Packers could possibly win their last three games and still not make the playoffs, but they're going to give it a shot this week. Now, they have to beat the Carolina Panthers at 11 a.m. Sunday morning, and then they've got to hope for some help from some other teams. The Panthers are tied for first in the NFC South. They are trying to get some playoff games at home. So you've got Packers versus Panthers at Carolina. Lot on the line right here. This is must-see TV. If all the morning NFL games are boring, I suppose that chance is there. I suppose you could flip over, watch a little bit of college hoops. 1 p.m. on Sunday, you've got the Tennessee Volunteers going to Chapel Hill to play the Tar Heels. It's not a bad college basketball game. Tennessee is 7-1 under Rick Barnes. Hey, everywhere Rick Barnes goes, he has success. You can just go down his track record. Everywhere he goes, he has success. How did Tennessee get him? Probably because he's not a football coach, because we've seen how they run that whole thing. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gone. If he had been a football coach, he wouldn't go to Tennessee. Basketball, he's there. Meanwhile, North Carolina is loaded again. They're a top 10 team. Roy Williams has his team playing well, and they're actually going to get better. as the season goes on. Tennessee at North Carolina, not bad. Two top 20 teams right now. Okay, now let's get to some big dogs. 2 p.m. Sunday afternoon. If I had told their fans prior to the season that both teams from Los Angeles would be playing for a playoff spot in December, do you think they would have believed me? See, that's a trick question. It's a trick question. Because the truth is, there are no Rams or Charger fans. But the Rams are 9-4, and they are on top of the NFC West. They are coming off of that loss to the Philadelphia Eagles last week. They are at the Seattle Seahawks, who are 8-5 and just behind the Rams. They're also coming off that loss. They just got beat by Jacksonville. Now, Seattle won the first game in LA in week 5 between these two teams. As good as the Rams have looked, probably is not going to be good for them if they get swept by the Seahawks. The thing about the Rams, it's all been fun and games to this point. There's no expectations. Like, everyone thought they'd be like 6-10, 7-9. They're not going to the playoffs or doing anything like that. Now they have a chance to get the leg up in their division, maybe win their division. How do they do in a big divisional game with a lot of the season on the line? Good one here. Rams at Seahawks at 2 p.m. At 2:25, we have the big dog of the weekend. You know, Larry and I talked about this one earlier in the week. This feels like a playoff game. The New England Patriots go to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Winner has inside track on home field advantage in the playoffs for the AFC. The Pittsburgh Steelers have won 8 games in a row. New England, just coming off of that crappy loss to Miami on Monday night. Steelers are loaded with talent. They've got Big Ben. They've got Le'Veon Bell. They've got Antonio Brown. They've still got a pretty decent defense. The Patriots, well, they've got Belichick and Brady and Gronk. Patriots have won 8 of the last 10 games against the Steelers. This, my friends, is must-see TV. Got just a couple more for you. 4 p.m. Cleveland Cavaliers go to the Washington Wizards. Now, the Cleveland Cavaliers should roll through this game easily, but there is a genuine dislike between these two teams. The Wizards think the Cavs are afraid of them and that they ducked them last year in the playoffs. The Cavaliers, meanwhile, genuinely have no idea who the Wizards even are. And when you ask them about them, they say, "Do you mean the Washington Bullets? I don't know who you're talking about." Okay, final game of the weekend. We have the Battle of Failed Expectations. Yes, on 6:30 Sunday night, we have the Dallas Cowboys at the Oakland Raiders. You know, both teams were hoping for the Super Bowl. Now, both teams are just praying they can somehow scrape their way into the playoffs. The Dallas Cowboys are 7-6. Here is their remaining schedule. They've got the Raiders this week, then the Seahawks, then the Eagles. If they can't beat Oakland this week, they don't need to worry about the Seahawks or the Eagles. That's not going to happen either. Win out, they've got a shot at the postseason. On the other side, the Oakland Raiders are now 6-7. It's going to be a very much uphill battle for them. They have the Cowboys, the Eagles, and the Chargers remaining on their schedule. Winner of this game has at least a chance. Loser of this game starts looking at some mock drafts. Hey, it is a packed weekend of sports. I told you that. We've got a lot of things to watch. And now, with the help of the Daily Dose, you will be sure not to miss a single thing. Hey, coming back, we will get to our Daily Dose top 5. I'm not sure if you realize this, or maybe you do, because maybe you celebrate it. But do you realize that Hanukkah began this week, back on Tuesday night? So here's a question for you. Who are the best athletes to actually celebrate Hanukkah? And have any of them actually played sports since like the Prohibition era? We will have some answers for you when we return. Hey, just a quick reminder. Make sure that you do any of that last minute holiday shopping you need to do. Over at lootcrate.com/dailydose, you know Loot Crate has the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. December's Loot Crate theme, it's called Explore, and it contains items from Guardians of the Galaxy, Star Wars, and Destiny. But if you go over to Loot Crate, they have so much more. They have items from any franchise you can think of. Name a TV show, name movie, name a video game. They probably have something on it. They've got a lot of different stuff. They've got stuff to wear. They've got stuff for your pets. They've got stuff for the house. Some really, really cool things over at Loot Crate. And the best thing about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, be sure to enter Daily Dose in the coupon box we will get you 10% off your order. If you just type in DALYDOSE in that coupon box, we'll get you 10% off. Now, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. You know, Tuesday night this past week, the event of Hanukkah began. Put on your yarmulke, here comes Hanukkah. So much Hanukkah to celebrate Hanukkah. Of course, many of us right now are getting ready for Christmas, or getting ready for Kwanzaa, or getting ready for Festivus, or whatever it might be, right? Hanukkah is already underway. So happy Hanukkah to any of our listeners that do celebrate the holiday. Of course, Hanukkah is a Jewish holiday commemorating the rededication of the Holy Temple in Jerusalem or something. Maybe Maccabean revolt. I don't know. Something along those lines. I missed that day at school is what I'm saying. Bottom line is this. In the history of sports, we have actually had some surprisingly good Jewish athletes.
Would you like something to read?
Do you have anything light?
Oh, how about this leaflet, Famous Jewish Sports Legends?
And yes, some of them have been in the last 50 years, because I know you were thinking that, right? You were going, oh yeah, that's great. Back around the turn of the 20th century, there were some Jewish athletes. No. Even now, we have some pretty good Jewish athletes. So during this holiday of Hanukkah, let's take a look back at some of the most able-bodied Israelites in the world of sports. Number 5 on our list. You know, you think I'm going to name a bunch of guys from back in the 40s and 50s, don't you? Maybe like the 20s and 30s even. And I am. But first, I am going to prove to you that the Jewish athlete exists even today. So how about this guy that played quarterback at Kent State and then got drafted by the New England Patriots? Did he catch passes from Jim Plunkett? Or maybe Steve Grogan? No, I'm talking about the current day guy, Julian Edelman, who has caught over 500 passes for over 5,000 yards and scored almost 50 touchdowns. Remember, Julian Edelman's catch in this last Super Bowl against the Falcons, when it bounced off the defenders and he caught it just inches from the ground, it is one of the greatest catches in Super Bowl history. And yes, Julian Edelman is a Jewish athlete. See? Modern day. Not even going back way back in the day. Moving on to number 4. Okay, fine. I am going back to the 30s and 40s on this one. But Hammer and Hank Greenberg was one of the most dominant baseball players of his era. Despite serving 4 of his prime years in the military during World War II, Greenberg was one of the greatest hitters of all time. He hit over 40 home runs in 4 different seasons, including when he hit 58 in 1938 and established the record at the time for right-handed batters. And remember, he didn't get a juice. He didn't get all the equipment. He didn't get all the advantages they get today. Greenberg led the American League in RBIs on 4 different occasions, and he helped the Detroit Tigers win the World Series twice, once in 1935 and again 10 years later in 1945. You know, one of his most infamous moments came in 1934. He was just a young ball player, just trying to establish a name for himself, and after helping lead the Tigers to a division lead, the high holidays were approaching, leading to a debate whether Greenberg should play on the high holidays or not. Greenberg compromised. He said he would play on Rosh Hashanah, but he sat out the Tigers game on Yom Kippur. Big, big moment for the Jewish community and a really, really talented athlete in Jewish history. That is number 4 on our list. Number 3 on our list. Again, I'm keeping up. I'm going modern here. I don't have to go back on this one. Because while in college, Sue Bird led the University of Connecticut to a 114-4 record. She won the Nancy Lieberman Award as the nation's top point guard from 2000 to 2002. And as a senior in 2002, she led the Huskies to a 39-0 record and won the Naismith Award as the top player in the country. And in her 15 years in the WNBA, Sue Bird has averaged over 12 points a game and nearly 6 assists per game. She led the Seattle Storm to 2 WNBA championships in 2004 and again in 2010. And she has also won 2 gold medals as a member of the U.S. Olympic basketball team. See, it's not just the days of black and white television. It is also now. And it's also not just the boys. Do you see us diversifying here at the Daily Dose? That's right. Number 3 on our list. Sue Bird. Okay, number 2 on our list of greatest Jewish athletes. This guy was actually the guy before the guy we think of now. Because we all saw Michael Phelps winning medal after medal after medal after medal after medal in the last few Olympic Games, right? But see, prior to Michael Phelps, it was Olympic swimmer and Jewish swimmer Mark Spitz that had what is considered by most to be the greatest single Olympics for an individual competitor. And he did it at the 72 Munich Games. He won 7 gold medals, 4 as an individual competitor and 3 as a member of U.S. relay teams. You know, from 1968 to 72, Mark Spitz set 33 world records. He was named the World Swimmer of the Year 3 different times, and he was inducted into the International Swimming Hall of Fame in 77. He was also inducted into the International Jewish Sports Hall of Fame in 1979. Pretty impressive resume from a guy who won everything. Moving on to our number one selection. During this Hanukkah time, our top Jewish athlete in history. He is still, even this day now, considered to be one of the greatest pitchers in the history of baseball. He was named to 7 All-Star Games. He won 4 World Series titles, including 2 World Series MVP titles. He won the Cy Young 3 times. He pitched 4 no-hitters, including 1 perfect game, on September 9th, 1965. And he won his lone MVP award in 1963, but Sandy Koufax had to retire following the 1966 season just due to his body breaking down. He had arthritis really bad. He retired with over 2,000 strikeouts, pitching just over 2,000 innings. And since we're looking at the best Jewish athletes, Koufax may best be remembered for taking a stand for his Jewish beliefs. See, in 1965, Game 1 of the World Series took place on Yom Kippur, the highest Jewish holy day of the year. Sandy Koufax took a stand. He refused to play. He came back, pitched in games 2, 5, and 7, earned the World Series MVP. And what Koufax accomplished in the World Series goes beyond the stats. It goes beyond the numbers. It goes beyond the wins and losses. It established a Jewish athlete's rightful place in Major League sports. You know, we talked earlier this week about what we might remember from this NFL season. And one of the things that we might remember are the protests that we have seen in the NFL, and they've even spread to other leagues. Hey, maybe you agree with the protests. Maybe you don't agree with the protests. But know this, these kind of protests and these kind of stands have been going on for a long time by a number of different people, all different races, all different religions, all different creeds, and they stood for what they believed was right. And as different as we all are, at least here in America, we have a lot of different people here. We have a lot of different beliefs here. The fact that we can protest and the fact that we can stand up for those who may not be able to do it for themselves is what makes this country great. Hey, want to say happy Hanukkah to everyone out there. It is Friday, kids. I hope you enjoyed being with us all week at the Daily Dose as we bring you a new show every weekday. We will get after it again next week. Be sure that you head over to ESPN.com and you enter the Capital One Bowl Mania Pick'em Challenge. Find the group Daily Dose Podcast and compete against me and friends of the Dose to see who can pick the most bowl games correctly. Like we discussed, those games get started tomorrow, so make sure you go do it right now. Hey, thank you so much for listening to the show. Thank you so much for sharing the show. I appreciate you all being here. I have to say thank you to JSP. I could not do any of this without you. Enjoy the weekend. We will see you all Monday.